Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about the astrology, human design, gene keys, Pleiadian earth energy coming up for not only today, but we're also, because it's Monday, taking a look ahead at what promises to be a highly energetic week. I already told you earlier that July was going to be a busy month, and there was going to be a lot going on, two eclipses, Mercury retrograde, changes in signs, and of course, then the inevitable moon moving through the signs and triggering at least three or four different times the opposition going on in Cancer and Capricorn, which is where the eclipses are, which is where Mercury will continue his retrograde, etc. So lots of energy out there, lots of things happening, earthquakes, fires, floods. It's all out there. A tropical storm in the Gulf Coast in the offering. So craziness, right? And here in the Pacific Northwest, it's beautiful, it's cool, it doesn't even seem like summer. It seems more like we've just entered into maybe early spring. What can we say, right? It's just crazy everywhere you go. And the stars above, the moon above, all show us that that is exactly what's happening. As above, so below. And when you've got crazy things happening up there in the stars, you also have the equal craziness going on down here on the planet. And it's not all bad. It isn't all crazy in the negative way. Some things are crazy good. Some things are just crazy, like you don't really know how to describe that. I'm sure the residents of Ridgecrest, California are thinking weird things about where they live right now. I was kind of surprised to see a 6.4 earthquake followed by a 7.1. That's interesting to see foreshocks as opposed to aftershocks, which I grew up in Southern California. We had those all the time. It didn't seem like a big deal, except when two big ones happen like that close together. And then I guess there have been hundreds of aftershocks. It's kind of weird. I wish I had a chart for that because there was nothing specifically that you looked at in the astrology for the week, for the end of the week or the weekend, that would have pointed to that. So you almost have to look at the astrology of either the state of California or of the town of Ridgecrest or even the China Lake Naval Base out there. Just craziness, right? Now, I'm not surprised the Earth is in reaction because we have a lot of things going on in Capricorn. And Capricorn is an Earth sign. So it's not terribly surprising or shocking. I think what is, amazing about it is the number of earthquakes, the reaction of the news people out there, which is cracking me up, and just what, the number, the sheer number of earthquakes that have been happening in response to the big shakers. So let's just say good morning to everybody before I launch into what's happening this week. Good morning, Ashley and Linda Dennis. Wow, that's right. I saw Londa out there, or Vonda having a birthday. I saw that. Good morning, Patricia Woods. Good morning, Camille. Oh my gosh, what about the Black Moon Lilith? The Black Moon Lilith is sitting at 7 degrees of Pisces. And she is kind of involved with other planets at the moment because Venus is sitting at 6 degrees of Cancer. So they're trining one another. And that makes an ease and flow of the shadow. You could almost look at Black Moon Lilith as the shadow of Venus, but she's more than that. So, we have to look at the fact that she brings up anything that we're not expecting, anything shadowy. And I just got, but just before I went on air, breaking news that Washington, D.C. is in a state of flooding. And here we have it, right? Water signs in trine, where there's just plenty of water flowing. Also, Uranus is at 6 degrees of Taurus. And Taurus is also an earth sign, so expecting shaking, I can't put it past it, right? And so you have, planets sitting at 6 degrees, 7 degrees, and 5 degrees Chiron, and the moon at four, almost 5 degrees. So we have a lot of planets sitting in those very early signs or early degrees of the sign. Ceres just moved out of Scorpio and into Sagittarius, fundamentally shifting our beliefs and the paradigm that we're living in terms of the divine feminine. So that's way more than what I intended to talk about this morning, but thanks for bringing that up, Camille. It's fodder for a lot of things that we could be talking about, that is for sure. Asa says, having tropical storms and flash floods in Maryland. Ay, ay, ay. That's right. You are up in that area, Asa. Take it easy. Be safe. Elisa, good morning. Mimi, good morning. And good morning, Londa. Are you back from your trip yet? If so, welcome home. I hope you had a great time. And let's see, anybody else checking in with us? Nope, that's it for right now. Long weekend, I guess, for most people. My husband was off half day on Wednesday, and so off all the way through until today. Long weekend, lots of time to relax and to just sort of breathe, get some space around, you know, our lives. And we had a great 4th of July. I hope those of you who were celebrating had great picnics or barbecues or however you celebrated. I hope you had a great time. Now it's back to the real world. And the real world that we come back to today is a very busy one. We have the moon in Libra this morning. It transitioned into that sign very early in the morning while you were sleeping, likely, unless you were awake. Like my husband was awake half the night. I don't know what was going on with him. And today, with the moon in Libra, it is in a sextile to Mars and Mercury, both who are also in a conjunction today. This is the second of three conjunctions. The last one was in Cancer on June 18th. And now we have them at 4 degrees of Leo, which is the same degree that Mercury turned retrograde on yesterday. And when a planet changes directions, when it moves from direct to a retrograde, or when it moves from retrograde back to direct, it doesn't like automatically start moving. It sort of hangs in space there for a while and for several hours to even a day or so, depending on what planet is. It could even be several days. It could be weeks if it's one of the outer planets. So Mercury hasn't moved off of the degree that he went retrograde on yesterday. He's just sitting there. He will eventually pick up speed and appear to be moving backwards through the sky on his way back to meet up in Cancer. But for the moment, both Mars and Mercury are sitting at the fourth degree of the sign of Leo. And this is an interesting place because very near to where the lunar eclipse happened in January, February, when we were having the earlier in the year eclipses. So it brings things back up a little bit from the past, and it sort of makes us look at, you know, what kind of actions are we taking, and where are we being impatient? Where are we trying to blast our way through things instead of holding space and just moving along with the flow of things, like the water, the flooding, moving with the flow, versus on the other coast here where things are shaking and breaking and on fire, right? So we have two different ways, a dichotomy, a duality in what's happening in the nation here even, and in the U.S., just if you looked at the weather or you looked at the geology of the area, and what's happening with the Earth. And I'm going to show you visibly something that's really interesting that's going on between Saturn, the Earth, the Sun, and the nodes of the Moon right now. But hold on for that one for a moment. We are also in, the Moon is in a square to Venus today. Venus is the, right now, is the ruler of the sign of Libra. So we have the moon in Libra squaring its own ruler, and that may be putting pressure on your relationships. It may be putting pressure on your finances, and it may be putting pressure on you personally to align with your values. What is it I value, and am I in alignment with that? Today also, I told you this is crazy week, right? This, it may not be as many planets changing signs, and it may not be an eclipse this week, but there's so much going on above that if you guys are feeling stressed or tension or out of sorts, headachey, Body achy, I would not be surprised in the least. I would also not be surprised if you told me you were feeling really good and high energy and raring to go, because that's also a potential here with this kind of energy today and into the week. But today, Venus is also in a sextile to Uranus. The sextile is a 60-degree angle between planets. Remember when we say square, opposition, conjunction, sextile, sesquiquadrate, any number of aspects. These are relationships between the planets. So it'd be like me saying, that's my spouse, that's my child, that's my sister, that's my brother, that's my mother, right? There's a relationship that we have with the different people in our lives. The aspects between planets are the relationships that they're engaged in right now. Venus and Uranus are engaged in a very positive. A sextile is a positive aspect that is causing us to feel a little bit more frisky with our relationships. Maybe we want to be at the cutting edge of something with our friends or with our family, with our spouses, being innovative or experimenting in relationships, money, and our values. So that is a really good aspect in the day. It doesn't really have any huge upsets. It can bring surprises. You might meet people today and even from yesterday, today, and into tomorrow that you don't expect that are different from you, but in a way they open up your eyes and awaken you in some way. And that's the purpose when you've got Uranus engaged in anything. It's in a wake-up call. It's a shaker, if you will, a mover and a shaker, but this time he's moving and shaking up relationships in some way. And not necessarily in a bad way. Venus gentles everything up. Venus makes things smoother and makes things more palatable for us. But it doesn't mean that we don't have work to do when Venus and Uranus come together. We might be looking at where our relationships have stagnated and where we need to do something to spice it up a bit. And that is up to each one of us and each one of our relationships. This isn't something that's being forced on you necessarily from the outer world, but it may be something that you feel on the inside, like, well, we've just gotten into this rut and we need to do something to shake it up. So be willing to do that. Today, also Mercury conjunct Mars, right? They're coming together. June, on June 18th, was the first time they came together, and this was Mercury moving into Mars. Mercury is the faster moving planet, so we would expect that when there's going to be a conjunction, it's usually Mercury moving into that planet. Mars, being the slower planet here, is interesting today because Mars is actually moving into Mercury today. Remember, I said Mercury's at a standstill right now, and Mars is the faster moving body in this case. He's at 4 degrees 13 minutes, Mercury at 4 degrees 27 minutes. So they're very close, and Mars is moving into Mercury, which changes kind of the nature, if you will, of the conjunction. So here's where we may find today that we're feeling impatient, where we are kind of snappy or snippy with people, or even with ourselves. We may not be very patient at all with ourselves. And that frustrating feeling or that anger that's simmering below the surface is threatening to erupt out of us in some way or another. So if you have any kind of conflict or confrontation that you have to go through today, you would do well to breathe deep before you get into that conflict or have that confrontation with someone. If you can hold that off until another day, that might even be better because I don't even think you can predict how someone else may react to you if you have to come at them with some kind of important conversation or some important sort of interaction. So today is a day to say, write, and speak your mind. So watch for being insensitive in how you say what you say in the way that you aspect other people in your world. So, you know, if you went up to somebody and said something today that normally would make them laugh, today they may not laugh. Today they may be very sensitive to whatever it is that you say, and they could get their feelings hurt, and then you know what that starts, right? A confrontation or a conflict. So watch how you speak today. Watch what is going on up here in your mind and what that mind then pressures your mouth to say or to write. And the high side of all of this, of course, is that you can get things done, right? We have the energy, we have the snappiness, we have the ability to do and we can likely get some really good work done. We may feel like, well, anybody who has a job in the outer world who was closed down for the holidays here, at least in the US, is probably feeling like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do today, because you have several days worth of work that might be sitting there. Things you didn't finish up last week that you have to get finished this week. And in the event that isn't the case, it is just the event that this is a busy week and people are going to be out and about and feeling like they want to get things done. So that is good for some people, and for other people, it may not feel so good. So the idea here is you have a lot of energy, so put it to good work for yourself. Don't allow that high energy to cause insensitivity or words to fall or tumble out of your mouth that you didn't intend, or to say things that might hurt other people. And typically, I would say, at least for those of us that are listening here, you're not likely to go out and try to hurt someone's feelings. I'm sure that's not what you're about, but inadvertently, it can happen. So watch what you're saying. Now, the other thing that's interesting about this energy is that something might have some action, somebody from the past, something from your past may have been triggered in you right around June 18th when the planet Mercury and Mars first ended up in a conjunction. And you'll remember that was a highly energetic day because Mercury and Mars coming together in the sign of Cancer, which meant it was in an opposition to those planets in Capricorn. And it was, I think, one of those days it was the moon that was also squaring this energy. So we had likely some kind of catalyzing event, some kind of conflict or confrontation, or something came up for us from the past. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It could be you started a project that day, or you had a new client that day. Who knows what it was? But now you're going to see the next level in that interaction with that project, with that person, or something that maybe a pathway that opened up from the past. And here you may come to a bit of a stall point, even because Mercury's in retrograde now, slows things down. Maybe you have to go back to what occurred that day and reevaluate it. Maybe you missed a step, and now is your opportunity to go back and pick up whatever it is you left off. These two will conjunct once more, but not until we get into Virgo. So in August, so next month. God, I can't even believe I'm saying that. Next month is August. Yowza, time flies when you're having fun, right? So we have another opportunity with Mercury in forward motion next month when these two connect once more. So lots going on there. Chiron, our favorite wounded healer, also turns retrograde today. And it's one that, in the morning I get this, I have this week, or it's a monthly thing here, right? I get this grid, and this tells me all of the different things that are happening from, all over. But it fails to tell me anything about the nodes, and it fails to tell me anything about Chiron. So I always have to go looking for other sources for that information. And when I looked up Chiron this morning, I was kind of surprised. I knew it was coming. I didn't realize it was going to be today, but today Chiron is going to be moving into retrograde motion, where it will be in retrograde until December 12th. So literally for the rest of the year, we have Chiron backwards, and it may be taking us back over pain points over the last several months of Chiron's transit through Aries, which could be our relationships. It could be our own estimation of our own abilities, our self-acceptance, self-love, et cetera, et cetera. And so you may be faced with things that are in your face about the way you're treating yourself or the way that others are treating you. And so we may be reliving some of the things that have occurred that caused us pain or wounding over the past couple of months. It could even be things like where you've been unable to gain your own independence, or where you've been overly dependent on someone else or something else happening. And now you have to be, more aware of how to go it alone or how to empower yourself. So Chiron during this time is squaring Venus. This is not a typically difficult one, but I would really be, if I were you, and I am not you, but I would do this, is I would look at yourself through the eyes of other people, the people closest to you. What do they see? because sometimes they see you in a better light than you see yourself. And if there's the mismatch there, you need to work with that energy. You need to be able to bring yourself into alignment with the high side of who you are, with the high side of what you are expressing in yourself. And are you expressing your highest? Or have you reduced your frequency down to fit with others? And if that's the case, you have to re-empower yourself, pull up your bootstraps, and get yourself back on track. So we have a lot of opportunity for this over the next several months while Chiron is backtracking through the previous, 5 degrees? It's at 5 degrees, almost 6 degrees. It does not backtrack back into Pisces. Thankfully, we're done with that. It will stay in the sign of Aries. So we're dealing with independence versus dependence versus codependence. And we are all interdependence. That's the other one. Codependence, independence, dependence, and interdependence. So if those four words are moving through your awareness in any way, shape, or form, it is due to Chiron. And it would typically be playing out in your relationships, in your family, through your friends, through your work associates, etc. So watch for that. Watch for those pain points. If you can even just go back in your own mind to the beginning of the year and discover, you know, what things might have been happening in your relationships over the last couple of months that triggered you in some way, this is likely where you're going to see the next level happening. Or where you're going to have to redo something. Maybe you thought you'd really become independent and then something happened that sent you back. And so you'll be dealing with these things for the next few months. Not necessarily a bad thing, but definitely for some of you that are younger than 50, it may be more about the pain and how do I heal myself here, as opposed to those of you over 50 who may be dealing with this with other people in your life and helping them move through their wounds and their pain. So Londa says, sure, am reliving it. Ay, ay, ay. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel. And nobody's saying anything much out there. You guys are quiet, which is surprising because you guys should be yapping at me all morning here. But maybe you're just listening because there's so much to talk about. So not to worry about Chiron. Just know that if you're triggered in some way, likely he is the culprit. Take a look at how you love yourself or if you are loving to yourself and look at issues around dependence and independence and codependence, etc. All right. So I wanted to show you guys something really interesting that I noted this morning. I'm transitioning now over to human design. And first of all, I want to show you we're back to being reflectors, right? Debbie Hedden, you'd appreciate this. For the umpteenth time this year, all babies being born here are going to be reflectors likely. And at least actually through the next several days even, I think we may see off and on again. But something really interesting is happening with the moon. Here's the moon right here today. It's sitting at gate 18. It is now for the next 2 days going to be transiting through all the gates of the spleen. And the spleen is the center for time, intuition, health, and it is the oldest gate or oldest center in your human design, and therefore it is about survival. And that survival energy is turned into fear energy. And so for the next few days, we are all likely going to be triggered at some point or another by fears. And the fear at gate 18 is about perfection. I'm not good enough. My work isn't good enough. I'm afraid that I got to keep rewriting and editing and redoing this because if I don't, it's not going to be perfect. Things aren't turning out the way I thought they would. And so I just keep meddling until I get it perfect. Only it's never going to be perfect because it's perfect the way it is in the moment, right? It can't be anything but perfect in that moment. Then we move into the other gates of the spleen. So we'll be triggered by things like inadequacy, fear of failure or success, a fear of purposelessness, like all of this is for naught. Are we taking care of our families or are we failing in our responsibilities in some way? A fear of the past, a fear of the future. So all of these fears over the next couple of days. And, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. There isn't anything out there that's going to eat you. Right? The fears that we had that triggered our ability to survive morphed into false evidences appearing real. And in this case, then, if you note that you're being triggered by some kind of fear, let it go. It isn't real. It's not real that you're inadequate. You have everything you need. It's not real that you need to fear the future. The future isn't here yet. It's not set in stone. You breathe in the now. It's not true that you need to have a fear around the past repeating itself, because that isn't your job either. You don't breathe in the past. You only breathe in the now. The fear and failure to your responsibilities, to your family, your tribe, or your community. What can I say about fear? In this center, it's about time. And time is in the now. And in the now, are you failing your family? Are you failing in your responsibilities? If you are not, let that one go. In fact, everything, every fear that could be triggered here over the next few days is really all about, in this moment, am I okay? If so, I breathe in and I breathe out and I move forward, right? It's about moving forward fearlessly. And the moment you choose to move through the fear, it sort of evaporates or dissipates or just goes away, or it is seen for what it's truly, what it truly was, which is false, right? Just false evidence appearing real. So the moon is going to be triggering that for us for the next couple of days. The sun does this for us two times a year too, in March and in October, when the sun is moving through all of the gates of the spleen. So there may be something over the next couple of days that relates to something that you might have noticed in March or something that you noticed last October. And then it is up to you then in this moment to release it, let it go, move on, right? That's what the moon does for us. It moves us through it and allows us to let it go. Now, what I thought was really interesting, if you can look here at the chart, this tells you what gate all of the different planets are sitting at. So here's the sun. It is sitting at gate 53.2 right now, and the north node sitting at 53.3. So we have, you see a conjunction of the sun and the north node. Then if you look at the earth is sitting at gate 54.2, and the south node is also at 54.3. And the planet Saturn is at 54.3. So we have an Earth South Node Saturn conjunction going on as well at gate 54. And then Mercury and Mars, which we've already talked about as being in a conjunction, the gate they're sitting at is 31.3. So let's talk about those three gates, because they might give us more information as to what we're experiencing this week as these planets pile up on top of one another. And I mean, it's pretty amazing actually to see that happening. I didn't even realize that was stacking up as I was writing the weekly astrology report yesterday. I noted that the sun and earth had moved into 53 and 54, but it didn't connect up until I visualized it this morning about what is really happening out there. So the sun and north node, let's take them first. So the sun is in Cancer. The north node is also in Cancer, and they are moving into a conjunction with one another. When that happens, it's time for you to connect with your destiny. It's when your identity, your ego, your selfhood meets up with its destiny, with its life path trajectory, with where it is meant to be moving, where it is meant to be moving, not where it is necessarily, but where it is meant to be moving. And you may feel this in your body viscerally by maybe feeling anxious or an anxiety that builds up in your body, or a feeling of, I got to get somewhere, I got to do something. So that's revving up within us. And the energy at the gate 53, which, by the way, let me show you. I didn't show you the gate. Here's the gate 53. And yeah, I'll do those in different colors next. So the gate 53 is sitting on the root center right here, right? And it's moving up toward the sacral. The sacral is the center of service. It's what you do. And the gate 53 on the root center is an impulse. And the impulse is to start something new. The gate 53 is about a new beginning. It is about getting going, right? It's about that little engine that could, that begins to feed the engines with, you know, wood or coal or steam, and everything begins to move. So we have this energy then with the sun and the north node at the gate of new beginnings, telling us we need to move forward, right? We got to move and we've got to get on path. If our north node sits here, but we're over here, we've got to come into alignment with our destiny. And really, literally, your destiny is your life path trajectory. And here the trajectory says, endure, stay the course of being on your life path, and whatever that is for each one of you, right? It can be different for everybody. In fact, I'm sure it is different for everybody. The best way to know that is to know where your North Node sits in your own human design or in your own astrology chart. And if you don't know that, then it's probably time for a reading for yourself so that you can catch up to what is it that I'm here to do? Who am I here to be? Now, the other three that are connected today is the Earth, Saturn, and the South Node. So the South Node is like a cup, right? It's the upside down horseshoe. So I always think of it as the cup. It's holding all of the goods, right? It has all of your experiences. It houses all of your gifts and your talents. All of your cellular memory, your ancestral memory comes with the South Node. In this lifetime, we try to use the South Node in the same way we try to use the South Node energies, the gifts, the talents, etc., in ways that we had been successful in previous lifetimes. And it doesn't work in this lifetime. It's like beating your head up against a wall. If any of you have used that phrase, I feel like I'm beating my head up against a wall, or I feel like I'm doing wash, rinse, repeat, what's that other saying? Two steps forward and one step back. If you felt like that in your life ever, then likely you are meeting up with the South Node and attempting to figure out why it is this won't work. And what you need to do is move it out toward the North Node. Now, lately, the South Node and Saturn have been hanging around together with Pluto in the sign of Capricorn, right? That would be the opposite sign of Cancer. Cancer is where the North Node and the Sun are. And the Earth, always opposite of the Sun, is sitting in Capricorn then, alongside the South Node and Saturn. So when you think about that, remember in your human design, the Earth is often the challenge to the Sun, right? So the challenge to the Sun right now is at gate 54, and that's the gate of ambition and drive. It is the gate that leads us in our mystical journey or our hero's quest to find the Holy Grail, right? To answer the big questions in our lives. Who am I? What am I here to do? What is my life path? What is my destiny? What's my South Node telling me? So all of those questions that we ask are what becomes the impetus, the fuel that sends us out looking for our destinies, looking for those answers. And gate 54, which I will show you next, is where that quest begins. We often think of it as the quest for enlightenment. So it is also on the root center. So here's the root center. Gate 53 is up here moving toward the sacral, but gate 54 heads out over here to gate 32 in the spleen, which is the gate of success or failure, right? The fear is that I'm going to fail. The opportunity is that I'm going to succeed, right? I'm going to engage my ambition and my drive, and I'm going to move out and I'm looking for success, right? That's what it's, why else would we do that? Right? Why else would we even strike out and do anything, right? We're looking for success. We're looking for something that defines us. And so we are all on sort of this hero's quest. No matter what 54 looks like from birth for you in your human design, right now it looks like there's something sitting here. And what's sitting here is this energy of both destruction and construction. So for some of you, it may be letting go of things that you are engaged in that just really don't have that zap for you anymore, that really just, you know, you've completed with, that doesn't hold the juice for you. Others of you are now engaging in what it is that really does make you happy, what does make you sing, and what makes you excited, what makes you get out of bed in the mornings, right? So this is why I'm saying this is deconstruction and reconstruction. So if we have been doing things all along that are not supportive of our true life's mission, then those are the things that are falling away. Some of you may be holding on tooth and nail to try to keep that. And because you just feel like it's your identity or who you are. But what we're realizing is it isn't, right? It isn't who I am. It isn't what I was here to do. That I've been engaging the south node, and now I need to move over to the north node. And the north node in Cancer is about nurturing. It's about creating new values. It's about aligning with your values, the values of family and tradition and nurturing and caring and being more gentle with one another. It's more inclusivity, where we have been maybe dealing with more of the exclusivity, right? So trying to make yourself pull out of the crowd over here, and now seeing that no matter what it is that you're expressing, you, as long as you're being authentic, you are expressing your genius and your brilliance. All right, so let's stop for a second and see what people are showing me here. Mimi, nice. On Wednesday, I will be working with a great craft guild on a jury process for new artists, and thinking the guild is calling me to partake in their energy come November. Yes, right? That's awesome. And Serena, good morning to you. Asa, it says, Gate 54 shows up a lot in my human design. Suzanne says, my north is on gate 55 and my south is on gate 40. So you're moving more toward 55. I'm not sure, Asa, where, you know, it's funny, Asa, I found this morning, too funny. I have your, I don't know why, but I have your gene keys thing sitting here on my desk or on my dining room table, such as it were. And let's see, where is the gate 54? It is your purpose, right? It's the bottom here. And the bottom bubble on your gene keys hologenetic profile shows you your purpose, right? Your purpose and ascension, aspiration, and greed is the lowest level of this energy. So gate 54, where Earth, Saturn, and the South Node are, you know, isn't that interesting? Because if you looked at it, the wider world, then a lot of what we're seeing is based, is an old greed model that is falling away, or that needs to fall away, right? What has greed wrought for us in this country? And there are other countries. I know some of you are watching me from other countries. What, you know, look to your outer world and what has greed wrought for your country? And is it positive, or is it something that is decaying and or needs to decay and move away? In this particular instance, greed leads us to aspiration, right? To hope and to looking at something better. And then finally, we move to ascension, which is a tricky, slippery slope sort of word, but it eventually means that we move beyond desires, we move beyond goal setting and hopes, and we just create, right? From another level, we're just creating. And that there is no need to withhold things from other people or to hoard money or supplies or uranium or whatever it is, right? That is out oil, because there's this free energy out there that all we have to do is tap into. But the people who keep us from tapping into those things are holding to a pattern of greed. Right? What happens if the whole world has free energy? Well, bye-bye Mobil Oil, bye-bye BP, bye-bye Exxon and all those other companies, right? Their profits go, they lose. In their mind, they think they lose. And that's why we are always, that's why greed isn't sustainable, because it's always about competition and winning and losing. And what we're moving beyond, as this gate will show you, is more toward enlightenment, more toward aspiring to something better, something beyond. And that leads us ultimately to ascension, which to me is, you know, more of the rising frequency in our human consciousness, let's say. So there you go, Asa. Your life purpose, aspire and ascend. Life, Earth, Gate 54, and South Node, Life and Soul. All, yeah, so you've got a lot of energy sitting at Gate 54, but as it is in this particular, this is your hologenetic profile. This right here, right from here up, forms the basis of what's called your sword of individualism, your sword of individuality. And so the bottom, your individuality begins with your purpose. And purpose for you is at gate 54. So, okay. And I don't know, that's just so funny that I have it sitting here. I don't even know why I printed it. I have no idea. So at any rate, gate 54. Now the other two, the green two here are, oh wait, hold on, I didn't put it in here, are gate 31, which sits on the throat center. So Mercury and Mars are at gate 31 on the throat center, moving down toward the identity center. So moving toward the soul center. And gate 31 is a gate of leadership. Literally, gate 31 is about sort of democratic leadership. It's not, if you've noticed, I don't know if all countries around the world are noticing this, but I notice in our country, there seems to be this shift toward our leaders believing themselves to be authoritarians or to be, we see it in this country when the president decides to enact an executive order. We see it in this country when the checks and balances between the three parts of the government are being eaten away, because there seems to be this move astrologically. It's also up in the sky in Capricorn, where we're moving more toward dictator authoritarianism. And of course, in our country, the United States, it flies in the face of our Constitution. And so we see this energy here of, it's almost like pulling us toward the past, where in the past there were kings and queens and some dictators out there, some people out there that are in leadership positions, fancying themselves to be the king of the country, and everyone shall listen to me. And if you don't, then I'm going to make your life miserable. But in human design, we see that the human template is based in democracy. It's based in, and I'm not even sure we could use the word democracy so much as it's based in a sort of synchronous agreement that this person is the best one to lead us, or that this is the person who holds our values. And so we elevate them to leadership. So the gate 31 in your chart is a place where you can become invited in to becoming the leader of a group, perhaps of a community, of a country, of your family, etc. Right? Gate 31's leadership, though, is basically voted in, right? It's not a power grab. This is a leader who leads by example. And so Mars and Mercury may be focusing us in that direction. Like if we're looking in our outer world for confirmation, then what do our leaders show us right now? Are they showing us democracy? Are they showing us that they're holding true to the values that they set forth, to the values of the nation, to the values of the community or tribe, etc.? So, and I'm not talking just presidents or premiers or whatever they're called in other countries, but also in your, you know, your community groups, right? You have chairmen, chairwomen of corporations. You have people who are the directors of your clubs or of your organizations. And are they holding true to the values? Do they hold your trust? Are they trustworthy? Are they showing you your values? Do you see the values of your organization reflected back to you in that person? So we're on a slippery slope here. I mean, really in a lot of ways, we're seeing things like fascism, authoritarianism, and sort of a debasing of democracy, and certainly an eating away of our Constitution in the US. They're all symptomatic of what's happening here in the way that we work together in leadership. Ultimately, we end up in what Richard Rudd calls a synarchy, where together we lead, right? There is no longer a hierarchy. I think what we're really seeing is the demise of hierarchy and the people in leadership holding on, you know, teeth and nails to their position, right, to their elevated position, when in reality, what's happening over time is we will end up in synarchy, where by agreement, people become leaders, but it's also implied that their leadership doesn't place them above, it places us all even with one another. So I know that's a weird concept, but it is a concept that Richard has and the group of people that lead the Gene Key Ambassador Group have enacted, right? There is no one above the other. There are leaders, there are guides, and everybody pops in and does what it is that they're best at. That there's nobody that says you can't do this, right? By agreement, we have certain rules that we live by or agreements that we hold ourselves to. But not because someone is an authoritarian that told us we have to. It's just that this is how we resonate together as a group. Totally a different type of leadership. Mars and Mercury maybe showing us where we're out of sync with that, where we are no longer in alignment with those values that we've put out there in whatever country or organization or club or group or family that you're a part of. And one of the ways that this may show up in the outer world is you may see groups of people breaking off and creating new rules or new ways of being together, right? That are showing us the way that it could be, and not necessarily the way it's been. Patricia says a group of Cree Native people that I've been teaching want to fly me to Hinton, Alberta, to meet with their elders to share the information that I have learned over the years. How timely. Apparently so. Camille, we see it when government chooses to benefit corporations over the people. It's fascism, fascism going on across the world, not just the USA. Profits over people. Definitely, definitely. Good morning, Irina. It's great to see you. So we have a lot going on, both big in the outer world, but also coming, on going on within you. Because let me tell you, people like Trump or any of your leaders out there, people who are in your organizations that you look at and you're like, what are you doing there? Didn't get there in a vacuum, right? They didn't just appear magically. Somebody voted them in. Somebody put them there for some reason. Why? Because we need to be able to look within and see where we too are out of sync with that, right? So where are we holding hierarchy and authoritarianism and fascism? And it's not that it's your fault. It's about what are we in resonance with, and why are we in resonance with that? So it's all up in our faces, people. It is all up in our faces. Okay, it is 10 to 9. Let's see, Moon. I did that one. Today's Pleiadian Earth energy is too devoting. Now, isn't that interesting? The two is about duality and how we see duality in our world. And usually we see it as in positive and negative, right? There's one side of the coin that's more preferable to the other side of the coin. And it is that duality that holds us to some of this negative energy that's been out there, right? Where we are polarized, where we can't see that there's commonalities in each end, that they're the same, different sides of the same coin. If I were to hold up a coin, then it's not a different quarter just because I turn it over, right? It's the same quarter, just a different expression, a different picture on that side versus the other side. So no matter what we think of as duality, it is always something that we are wanting to be one or the other, when in reality it's both. So today's two duality, it's about merging those, seeing the two for their own, for what the value is that they hold. What have we learned? What are we learning? The other energy, devoting. In the Mayan astrology, this is Ok, dog. And dog, I always think of as God in the mirror, right? The word dog is God spelled backwards. And the ability then for us to see ourselves as part of a community, as part of a tribe, as being loyal to one another, loyal to our values, our common core values, as opposed to being loyal to a person, right? Loyalty to a person leaves room for a lot of problems, right? Those or the leaders who insist that you be loyal to them even if that means that you're stepping all over your own personal values. So loyalty, the ugly end, but also the brighter end of loyalty, also up as we're dealing with the Pleiadian earth energy of the day. Okay, so I'm going to do a quick card reading for, I haven't done a card reading since last week, so my cards have just been sitting. They want to move. They want to express. So we're going to do a card reading for a Wisdom of the Oracle, a Woto. This is by Colette Baron Reed, and I love this deck. I think you guys love it too. Good morning, Jacqueline. Good to see you out there. So this is a card that is for us for the week, and okay, so we have To the Sea, card number 7, right? Card number 7, To the Sea, and I don't think we've had that one before. Card 7, To the Sea, and it's water, being in the flow, returning to source, recognizing how pieces fit together, a natural pattern of events. The Oracle's message says, isn't it wonderful when you feel yourself in the flow of life? When events and conditions seem to engage you in a way that is fluid and effortless, this card reminds you that going with the flow is exactly what you need to do right now. Ride the wave of opportunity formed by perfect conditions. Allow trust and faith to guide you forward as you flow like a river into the sea of life. So that is To the Sea. And it was upright, card number 7. Okay, now let's do a spirit animal. And see what kind of animal that we have that guides us on this weekly journey of ours. Let's see, anything going on this week that you need to know about? No, no big events. Nothing spectacular this week, except the stars and the planets and how they guide us. And dragonfly or dragonfly. You can see. Okay, but dragonfly in reverse in protection. So let's take a look. Dragonfly, by the way, is card number 22, which I like the fact that it's a master number. But the reason I chose dragonfly really as a is a tattoo is because of its association in the gene keys with the gene key 55. Freedom, 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 super abundance, right? All of that. Is in the card, it's a master number 22, which is about building, and the master number 55 would be about freedom, freedom, freedom. But 22 was upside down, so we're going to look at the protection. What are we looking at here? 22, here we go. So dragonfly spirit, the card itself says truth transcends illusion. In the protection, it says, did you really think this world of the senses is all there is? From the hidden mystical realms, signs are being sent to you, but perhaps you have perceived a separation and convinced yourself that you are on your own. Have you fallen into spiritual amnesia and forgotten your connection to a living, loving, always supportive universe? If so, rub the sleep out of your eyes, for dragonfly spirit is here to remind you of all the love and support available to you in every moment. There is an organizing principle underlying the events you have experienced, and dragonfly spirit can help you see it and trust that spirit has your back. Let go of the illusion of chaos and randomness. Love is here, so follow the signs that appear serendipitously. As you pay attention to the magic all around you, you will know you are on the right track. Wow. Love that card. Okay, so we have dragonfly and To the Sea. 22 and 7, that both of these cards evoke higher spirituality, a trust in the universe. So number 20, and I see Suzanne, love it when Suzanne is with us because she does her thing. She brings up the angel numbers and posts them for us to see and interact with. So thank you, Suzanne. I love it that you do that. And all right, I think that is it for me today. I'm just scrolling back. Suzanne's put up both number angel number 7 and angel number 22 for us. You can read that on the Facebook page. So I think that's it for me today. I hope you all have a spectacular week, a spectacular day. I note the sun is out here, so maybe today will be a beautiful day here in the Northwest. And I will see you all tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. East Coast time. All right, guys, take care. Have a great day. Bye.